Thank you, Willie, for a wonderful time of worship. We appreciate your ministry. Before I get into the message this morning, I would like to acknowledge the presence of my father-in-law, Pastor Ernest Dow. The pastor right there is just waving. He's pastor at Huron Chapel in Southern Ontario and is here to visit with us. And we thank God for you, and we appreciate that you chose to worship with us today. Thank you so much. So this morning, we are going to continue with our series, What God Hates, from Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 to 19. So far, we have dealt with the fact that God hates haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are swift in running to mischief. But today, we explore yet another abominable sin that God hates. A false witness who speaks lies. A false witness who tells lies. So if you have your Bible this morning, could you please turn with me to Proverbs chapter 6, and we are going to read verses 16 to 19. And as a tradition, when you find it, please rise to your feet in honor of the reading of God's word. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 to 19. The Bible says, God hates haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running into mischief, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord, dissensions, divisions, or conflict among the brethren. And that means brothers and sisters. May the Lord add a blessing to the public reading of his word this morning. Let's pray together. God, our eternal, immortal, loving, and caring Father, we thank you for your love and unmerited favor that you continue to lavish on us, that we should be called children of the Most High God. This morning, as we look intently into your holy word, we pray that you may cast light on our text and illuminate it to our hearts for our spiritual understanding and transformation. Give us the courage to live it out to the glory of your great name. We thank you and we honor you because we have prayed all this in the mighty name of Jesus. And somebody in the house said amen. You may be seated. God bless you. After the potluck dinner, the speaker and master of ceremonies were standing in the foyer, greeting the people who had attended. A six-year-old boy ran up to the speaker and innocently said, "Your speech stank." Embarrassed, the master of ceremonies asked the boy to run along. But the boy ran right up to the speaker again and said, "We've heard all your jokes before. They are not funny." Embarrassed, the master of ceremonies again asked the boy politely to run along. But he ran right back up to the speaker again and said, "I bet they will never invite you back." Just then, the boy's mother, who was standing a short distance away, saw what was happening. So she ran up to the speaker and quickly said, "Please forgive my son. I have no idea what he just said to you, but he is only 6 years old, and he is just at the age where he repeats what everyone says. Did you catch that? The little boy was being honest and truthful, repeating exactly what he heard the audience say about the speaker's speech. If that's not the definition of a true witness who tells the truth, nothing but the whole truth, as he both heard it and saw it. If that's not being a good witness, then I don't know what it is. We all know that we are surrounded by false witnesses who tell lies in our society and sadly even in the church. They profess to be what they are not, misrepresenting themselves in order to receive acceptance and validation, or even hide their true colors and evil intentions in order to deceive the masses. They also falsely accuse others and projecting on them what they themselves are guilty of doing maliciously. With that said, our big idea is that bearing false witness and speaking lies is an abomination, and we should abstain from it as becoming saints, because God hates it. And because he hates false witnesses and liars, he will punish those who practice these things. Now, you may be asking and saying, who is a false witness who speaks lies? Who is a false witness who speaks lies? A false witness who speaks lies is someone who deliberately gives a false testimony, acting as a witness, twisting, perverting, and misrepresenting the truth to falsely accuse someone when he or she knows deep down the heart that the information being given is absolutely not true. In other words, a false witness is one who stands up and swears before others that something is untrue, when in fact they know it's true, especially with the intentions of hating someone else or putting their reputation in disrepute. This happened to David, who said in his prayer in Psalm 27, verse 12, "Do not turn me over to the desire of my enemies, foes, or adversaries, for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations." Does that sound familiar? Have you ever been accused falsely? Have you ever been caught up in a web of malicious accusations? And the last time I checked, church people either, they don't do well on this one. They also accuse maliciously. Jesus, in Mark chapter 14, verse 56, faced false witnesses as well. So in verse 56, the Bible says, many testified falsely against him, but their statements did not agree. Then some stood up and gave this false testimony against Jesus. We heard him say, I will destroy this temple made with human hands, and in 3 days will build another not made with hands. Yet even then, their testimony did not add up. Saints, be aware that false testimony can lead to dire consequences for the accused. In this case, Jesus was crucified because of that false testimony fabricated against him. Deacon Stephen also faced false witnesses in Acts chapter 6, verse 13. Verse 13 says, they produced false witnesses who testified, this fellow never stops speaking against this holy place and against the law. And because of that false testimony, Stephen was stoned to death outside the city. When the wicked queen Jezebel wished to acquire a vineyard for her husband, King Ahab of Israel, she hired 2 false witnesses. 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 13 says, Naboth, the rightful owner of the vineyard, was seated in an honorable place on a day of fasting. But then 2 crooks, charlatans, came and sat opposite him and brought false charges or accusations against Naboth before the people, saying, Naboth has cursed both God and the king. And guess what? So they took him outside the city and stoned him to death. What the 2 false witnesses said against Naboth was absolutely untrue. They were bearing false witness with impunity and with the shenanigans and the blessing of the queen, Jezebel. As a result of that accusation, innocent blood was shed. Innocent blood was shed. When a person is righteous and his enemies can find nothing with which to blame him, just like Daniel in the Bible, and just like Naboth, bearing false witness became a common weapon that even Satan today likes to use to destroy and discredit the righteous. Remember, he is an accuser of the brethren. So, that brings us to our one and only point. Do not bear false witness or testify falsely against your neighbor, because it is sin, and lo and behold, liars and false witnesses will be punished by God. Don't you ever forget that. You reap what you sow. No matter how long it might take, it's just a matter of time. Every day, we see how false witnesses or false witness is used in society as a political tool to bring down opponents. But it should not be like that among believers. Often, we cook up false evidence to support our cause or narrative. And we demonize everyone who questions it or asks intelligent, critical questions. But remember, we are not called to participate in what the world is doing. We are called to be witnesses of the truth, boldly telling others about the love of Jesus as good witnesses of light. Therefore, we should not emulate the world, because even though we are in this world, we are not of the world. We have been called by God to make a difference in a world full of darkness and falsehoods. The most important, obvious application of this truth, the truth of being good witnesses, would be perjury in a court of law. To lie about a person under oath is to ruin their reputation and to invite the penalty of that accusation on their lives, as we have seen with Naboth and Stephen and Jesus, who was falsely accused. One commentator says, Jewish custom recognizes the need for an oath before a rabbinic or judicial court. Witnesses were typically reminded of their obligation to tell the truth. They were warned if they were found to be lying, they would suffer the consequences that the defendant would have suffered had they pleaded guilty or found to be guilty. So bearing false witness is condemned in the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. It's condemned as evil. The book of Exodus, chapter 20, verse 16 says, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Exodus 23, verse 1 says, you shall not circulate a false report. Do not put your hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. Now, you may be asking and saying, what might this look like today outside the courtroom or the Sanhedrin? Another Bible commentator says, when a couple is married, they make vows to one another. The husband vows to lovingly lead his wife, and the wife vows to reverently follow her husband's leadership. God expects us to honor those vows. To fail to do so is to behave as a false witness, and it always hurts somebody if we don't follow our own vows. It may not be about husband and wife, but it may be about something else, written or unwritten, contracts or agreements, or memorandums of understanding. We must always keep our vows, but make sure to read the fine print before you take the vow, because it might just surprise you what the fine print says, if you don't follow through with your vow, you might lose everything. So if it comes to the Bible, read the Bible in context. Because if you get the Bible out of context, it might cost you more than you thought. What about parents who vow to raise their children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord? That is an expectation laid upon all Christian parents, whether an oath is taken or not, but there are settings in which parents publicly declare before the church that they will raise up their kids in the fear of the Lord. If parents stand before the church and dedicate themselves to raise their children to the Lord, but then neglect to do that or to expose their children to the Word of God and other numerous opportunities that we provide in church so kids can learn about the love of God and Jesus Christ, our Savior, they are failing to uphold their vows if they don't do that, thereby making themselves false witnesses. Numbers chapter 30 verse 2 says, if a man makes a vow to the Lord or takes an oath to put himself under a binding obligation, he shall not break his word. He shall act in accordance with everything that comes out of his or her mouth. Deuteronomy 23 verse 21 says, when you make a vow to the Lord your God, you shall not delay to pay it. For the Lord your God will surely require it of you, and it will be sin for you if you do not follow through with the vow. Otherwise, it's as Jesus said, don't make the vow. Because God will hold you accountable. And the Ecclesiastes says, God is not interested in fools who promises one thing and they do another. Because you will surely be held accountable. And you pay a high price. It's just a matter of time. God does not want us to be quick in making vows, commitments, and promises. Hasty engagements can become a great snare. It's a trap when things do not turn out as expected and we are forced into a situation where it is very difficult to keep that vow that we took. We must keep in mind the serious nature of oath taking, especially because we live in a culture where vows, promises, and pledges mean little to nothing. But I digressed. Why is this sin of bearing false witness so serious with God? The answer is God hates false witnesses. And believers are expected to hate that which God hates. You find that in Psalm 97, verse 10. We could also say that because bearing false witness always hates somebody, it always damages the reputation of others and may lead to a wrongful conviction and potentially shed innocent blood. The Bible consistently urges us to act in the best interest of others. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, which is self-importance. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. You find that in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 to 4. But we should also notice that those guilty of this sin are warned of dire consequences. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who tells lies will not escape. Proverbs 19, verse 5. Again, a false witness will perish. Proverbs 21, verse 28. We must therefore do all we can to avoid this sin. We are to speak the truth in love and not wait until we are put under perjury of oath to tell the truth. Nothing but the truth. In fact, we should be driven more by the fear of God, which means hatred for evil, and our love for God, which means obeying God. We should be driven by those things instead of the fear of consequences. Fear of consequences is something that you do when you're driving on a highway and suddenly you see an RCMP cruiser on the side of the road. What do? You suddenly react to that. That's the fear of the law. Because a law enforcer is on the road. We'll give you a ticket. Therefore, while we should fear the consequence of sin, we should do it because we love God, not because we are scared of what's going to happen to us. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him, Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 21. So, in closing, my question is, do you love God with all your heart? Do you love God with all your soul, mind, and strength? Then obey his commandments. If you love God, you will also love your neighbor and not accuse them falsely for personal gain. For how can you claim to love God whom you can see and hate your neighbor whom you can see? Scripture says, he who does not love his neighbor does not know God, because God is love. So, do you love your neighbor as yourself? Because you claim to love God. Do you do unto them as you would have them do unto you? If you do, then you know God. And the opposite is true. If you don't do it, you don't know God, even though you claim to know God. So, if you are found wanting, ask God to give you the courage that you need to love your neighbor as yourself. It's not easy. It's not easy to love your neighbor as yourself. So ask for God to give you the grace that you need to love your neighbor as yourself. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 to 8, which is also on your bulletin, says, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Let's pray. God, our eternal Father, we thank you for the preaching of your word. Our prayer is that this word shall not return to the void, but it will enable us to search and examine our hearts. It will help us to reflect on how we have lived our lives, even during this pandemic. Have we loved our neighbor as ourselves? Have we done unto them as would have them do unto us? Help us, Lord Jesus, not to fall in the trap of accusing people falsely. It's worldliness, and that's not our identity. But may you help us to be light in darkness and share truth in this world full of darkness as beacons of light. Our prayer is that you may continue to minister to us as we transition into communion. May your presence saturate our hearts. May our hearts run over and from our bellies flow rivers of living water so that others can come and drink and have life and life in abundance. We thank you, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we have prayed. And somebody in the house said amen.